Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
One of the most remarkable stories told in the New Testament is a story where Jesus is almost inaccessible. He's in a house. He is surrounded by people. No one can get to him. And these men are so determined to bring their friend, a paralytic, for a healing that they enter the house by an unconventional means. Jesus not only heals the man, but they all leave with something even more than just a miraculous healing. Joining us to talk about Jesus healing the man who is paralyzed in Mark chapter 2, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, it's great to be back.
These men bring their friend for healing of his paralysis, but they leave with something more. What is it?
Well, they leave with the forgiveness of sins. They leave having encountered the very Son of God who comes to save us from sin, death, and the devil, who comes to ultimately restore all of human life with the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. And all of that comes through the forgiveness of sins and the work that Jesus ultimately did on the cross for us and for all men. It really is, as you say, an amazing story. Just a few short verses, 11 verses in the Gospel of Mark, that Sunday school children will be studying this Sunday in their classes.
With about 2 minutes before we go to our first break with you, Pam, tell us the story from Mark chapter 2.
Sure. We have Jesus in the time when he's doing his miracles. Just before this, there's several other stories, miracles clustering, where he evicts demons, he relieves ailments, and most of that he does in Capernaum. But now he has gone to the home of friends. He's kind of sequestered away from the crowds and yet can't get away from them. They surround him, and they want to hear from him, and these men have heard of what Jesus does. They've heard of what he's taught, and they have their paralytic friend, and they are determined. They can't get through the crowd. They're going to go above it, and they go onto the roof of this house, and they find a way to drop him in, lowering him down after they're making an opening or a hole in the roof. They lower him down on his bed. And Jesus, it's beautiful, verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, this was an act of faith, what they did. He simply looks to the paralytic and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And, of course, there are scribes there, and they are questioning all this. Why does he say that? And in their mind, he isn't anybody, certainly not the Son of God, and so he must be blaspheming because no one can forgive sins but God alone. And they say that. And then Jesus turns to them and deals with them and asks, why are they questioning these things? He knows what's going on in their hearts. These are their questions. And he reads it and knows that they don't believe and holds up that famous question, you know, which is easier to say to this paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or rise and take up your bed and walk? And the answer to that is quite amazing.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with her today on this Monday afternoon, January the 30th, talking about Jesus healing a man who is paralyzed in Mark chapter 2. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri, is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We have these conversations with her every week. We base them upon an outstanding Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. Now, it's easy to do this when you're in the New Testament, when the stories are all centered around Jesus. But Growing in Christ manages, and it's really not that hard to do anyplace else in the Bible, manages to bring forward Christ on every page of Scripture. Whether you're talking familiar New Testament stories like this one, or less familiar New Testament stories, or stories in the Old Testament, it is Christ on every page. That's what Growing in Christ is all about. It's a great Sunday school curriculum for kids of all ages. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can call and get a free sample of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pam, you said that Jesus poses this question, which is easier to say to this man, get up and walk, or to say, your sins are forgiven? And he answers his own question. What's the answer to that question?
Well, it is that forgiveness of sins is the harder thing, because only the Son of Man, only God himself can forgive sins. And they know that. And that's why they think he can't possibly be of God, because he looks like a normal man before them. And he uses this miracle to show, because they think, well, healing this leper will be the harder thing. Making somebody who's obviously physically unable to walk again means you are of God, you must be God. And so he uses that to point to who he is. But the greater thing is the forgiveness of sins, and healing of the body is tied to that. It's tied to that for you and me as well, because through the forgiveness of sins, through the salvation that Christ won for us on the cross, one day we will all have restored new, glorified bodies with no ailments, whatever our ailments and frailties are in this world. And so this is a little foretaste of what that forgiveness of sins accomplishes in eternity for all people who are children of God. But here, it helps to provide a visible sign that, yes, that this man is who he says he is, the Son of God.
So when Jesus forgives the sins, and they consider it to be utter blasphemy that he would do this, is he essentially saying to them, if I can do this, that is, make the paralytic walk, and everyone recognizes at the end of the story, we've never seen anything like this, then I can do the greater thing, which is to pronounce the forgiveness of sins, not only to this man, but to the whole world?
Absolutely. That's what this is all about. And it's really, as we go through these Gospels and this part of it where we hear story after story of Jesus healing people, forgiving sins, teaching, raising the dead, all of the miracles, all of those really are to point to who he really is and what he is really here to do. And that is to bring the forgiveness of sins, to forgive our sins, because he is truly God, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And these things go hand in hand. But the greater thing is the forgiveness of sins. And they don't get it. In some ways, they do. The scribes, you know, say he's blaspheming, for only God can forgive sins. They get that. Only God can forgive sins. And yet, Jesus makes it possible for them to see he is God by doing this miracle, because everyone knows, as you say, that that's a miracle and only God does miracles. So he connects the two to help them see and believe.
This is an important thing to point out here, I think, about Jesus' miracles in general, about this one specifically. And that is, while he is showing himself as God, primarily with the focus on the forgiveness of sins, he isn't just using this guy. He heals them he heals him for an additional reason too, doesn't he?
Well, that's right, because he is God, because of what God wants for his people. He's having compassion on this man who is suffering in this paralysis, whose life is difficult. God loves his children. He loves his creation. And his wish from the beginning is that we live in perfection, no sin, no suffering, no sickness, no paralysis, none of these things. And out of love for him, he does address this man's physical need, and he does it immediately there after the forgiveness of sins, because the first and greatest need of him or anyone is to have their sins forgiven, because that's an eternal matter, and it gets to where we spend eternity and what our life will be in eternity. And, you know, our commentary, if Sunday school teachers look in their lesson, the growing in the Word, is a great section. The writer says, as fantastic a blessing his bodily health is, it is nevertheless far, far better to leave this world a cancer-ridden, leprous, blind, quadriplegic, whose sins are forgiven, than to leave this world a buff and beautiful jock whose soul is in Satan's palm. That's a lot to chew on, but it's absolutely the right way to think. The greater thing is this forgiveness of sins, and it leads ultimately to healing of our souls, our minds, our bodies in eternity, where we will have whatever ailments will be gone, and we will have our new glorified bodies. But and it connects to this beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. And that's, you know, what's going on here. What they could see was the paralytic being healed, and yet the greater thing was what they couldn't see, that his sins were forgiven. And they couldn't see into his heart, but they could see the example of the faith, and that's what Jesus saw. He saw their faith, the paralytic and his friends, as they lowered him. And that's something to talk about here, too. What is the first and fundamental action of faith? It's not some self-reflection, wondering, oh dear, do I believe or not? Nor is it good works that we might do for our neighbor, you know, as a mark or measure of our faith. But the fundamental act of faith, and we witness it in this story so clearly, is to look to and flee to Jesus where he may be found. Faith doesn't think about itself. It thinks about and seeks Jesus. And so we see a beautiful picture of that here as they came to him believing that he could take care of all of their needs. And it's through the forgiveness of sins that all our needs are met by the grace of God because of his Son on the cross for you and me.
With only about a minute here, tell us about this week's Witness Mercy Life Together lesson for the Sunday school children.
Well, sure. The link takes you to a page about building homes and hope in Haiti. And I'll make a little leap here, but not such a great one when you realize that that horrible earthquake that struck Haiti really paralyzed that nation and physically paralyzed people. Their lives, their homes were lost, limbs were lost, and all kinds of things. Through the church, through the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and many others around the world, God has worked to bring hope and healing, and specifically through this project, Building Homes and Hope in Haiti, where people who were left homeless, left to live in tents, now have homes to live in, have medical clinics where they can be cared for, have churches where they can receive the body and blood of Jesus, hear the gospel preached, and have their sins forgiven. All of that has been an outcome of that tragedy, and as God's mercy was extended through the church and accompanied by the witness of the good news and the gospel. And it's an ongoing project, and it's something to talk about with our Sunday school children about how God works through his people to extend his mercy and his word in the world.
Folks, we'll have a link to Building Homes and Hope in Haiti at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, we're going to talk about the election of the Upper House of Parliament in Egypt. The Arab Spring turned into the Arab Summer, Winter, Fall. It's extended. And many people, while seeing hope in a change in Islamic countries, also see a lot to be concerned about. We'll see what Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch is concerned about with regard to the elections being held in Egypt and the Muslim Brotherhood. Then, Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe will join us. Everyone for probably the last 2 or 3 years has been all nervous about the claim that the Mayan calendar shows the world ending in December of 2012, and it goes along with a lot of other doomsday predictions. We'll see what Ken thinks of all of that in hour two of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two starts in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.